This is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to tell you why you need to stop staring while you're acting and what you can do about it. And I'm also going to talk to you about the best thing you can do to be noticed in an audition, particularly with small parts. I'll explain. Before we get started, I have a big announcement. Starting December 11th, I will be opening my Wednesday night class in Hollywood. And if you'd like to participate, I am offering a free class to kick these new classes off. So I'll be doing that on the 11th of December and on the 18th, those two Wednesday nights. All I'll ask you to do is to send me a picture along with your email so I can see what you look like. I'll send you a scene ahead of time so you can have it memorized. You show up to class, I'll have a partner for you, and we can work out. The classes will be from 7 to 10. So if you want to participate or watch, you can just send an email to jeff@reallifeactor.com. Also, I am going to be in Atlanta on the 7th and 8th of December doing a two-day intensive. So if you want to get involved with that, you can email me. First thing I'm going to talk about is this business of staring. Now, I'm sure most of you don't think you do it. I notice it quite a bit with actors. They will just, as they're speaking, look deeply into the other person's eyes, no matter what the scene is, and they'll just crank that scene out. They'll look, you know, whether they're breaking up, whether they're firing somebody, whether they're pleading with someone, whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. The most common thing I see the actor do is just stare into the other person's eyes. Now, I'm bringing it up tonight because generally, I just don't think it's that realistic. I'll tell you what I mean. You know, I'm always watching people, observing life. It's been my thing my entire life, and I'm sure that's why I find myself doing what it is I do now. Because I've been I've just been fascinated with human behavior my whole life. As a result, I also kind of check myself at times. I watch what I do just because I'm so immersed in this. It seems that I'm constantly aware of these things. You know, even if it's for a moment, I will catch myself in a situation and make a crazy mental note about, you know, my behavior. And sometimes, you know, I'm not very pleased with what I make the note on, but there you have it. And if I'm being honest, I try and make these notes about my behavior and about what I see other people do. I try and make them as honestly as I can. I'm bringing this up because the other night, there was a scene, that we were working on in the Monday night class in Santa Monica, and, the actress was telling her, you know, boyfriend that she was done. She was through. She wanted to break up. And as I was watching her, I saw her looking at the fellow. Here she is, letting the guy know he didn't see it coming. In fact, he's caught completely off guard. He's been apparently a good boyfriend, a dutiful boyfriend. I mean, he hasn't done anything abhorrent. It's not like this is as a result of something he did that was egregious and now she's, you know, calling it quits. This is just kind of, she's just kind of fallen out of love. Now, I'm going to make this distinction because I really want to talk about what I think, if there is a rule of thumb, with regards to just what we're looking at when we're working. It's just an observation I'm making, and I'm laying it out there because I want you to just kind of be aware of it. I want you to think about it. I want you to ponder it in your own life. But I'm going to give you a couple examples just to kind of highlight what it is I'm talking about. As I watched her, staring deeply into this fellow's eyes, just telling him it was kaput, it's over, she's moving away, they're done. The questions I asked were things like, well, how long have you guys been together? She said 6 years. I was kind of blown away. 6 years and you're calling it quits. So I started talking about this idea of where actors look when they're working and what my observations are in life. I've been in that situation in my life. I've ended a relationship, you know, broken up, called it quits. Similarly, I've had to tell a friend a truth that I knew was going to be painful to hear. And my observation of those moments are that I find it hard sometimes to look deeply into the other person's eyes when I'm telling them these truths or when I am breaking up. That doesn't mean that I avoid the person's eyes, but I find it very difficult at times to look deeply into someone's eyes when I am delivering them some bad news. Now, I want you to just think about that for a moment. There are times when I've had to deliver bad news, when indeed I did. I want to make a few distinctions because there are no hard and fast rules. The point of the podcast today is to just get you to think about it a little bit. There are times where I've had to fire someone. You know, I've run business, I've been in charge as a director, as a producer, and I've had to let some people go, whether they were an actor or on crew. I found at those times, when this was business, when it was about having to, you know, answer the call of being the boss and letting someone know that they're needing to go, that I felt compelled to actually make direct eye contact and let them know. I felt that I needed to do it, well, kind of because that's what the moment called for. I wanted them to know that this moment was not negotiable. In fact, many times that's usually how I would preface something. I would say, listen, I need to talk to you about something, and I need to let you know that what I'm about to say is not negotiable. Now, I would say that because I'd want them to know there was not going to be a discussion. This isn't leverage. I'm not, you know, this isn't a warning, and then, you know, let's talk about it. No, when it came to that moment where I really had to let someone go for whatever the reason was, but it was going to have to be something bad, I felt compelled to look into their eyes and deliver the goods to them, perhaps out of respect, perhaps so there was no misunderstanding. I wasn't in a personal relationship like I would be with, you know, someone I had as a partner, as a girlfriend in my life. So this was a different situation. On the other hand, I found that if I've had to tell a friend something that bothered me about their behavior, or, as I said, if I've had to end a relationship, instinctively, I found it hard to just continually look into the person's eyes and tell them what I was feeling. I would try, but part of me was compelled to, I don't know, almost kind of have this sense that it was difficult for me to talk about. I didn't feel good about this. I was sad about it. This wasn't easy for me. And indeed, it wasn't. It never is. I mean, even in those relationships or friendships that you feel compelled to end for what you believe are all the right reasons, these things are never comfortable. They're so uncomfortable. And there's something that just naturally occurs with people when they have to deliver that kind of information. Haven't you noticed that? I'm going to say it a few times during the course of this particular discussion, and that is, I just want you to be aware of this, if you would. And as you're living your life, and as you find yourself in various discussions, when friends of yours are telling you stories, sad stories, happy stories, good information, bad information, when you can remember to just kind of clock what's happening. Not that it's meant to be something that now you're going to mimic, but really I'm offering it up to you to see if it enlightens your perception of how we communicate with people and when we do, in fact, look at them. I think the reason why actors find it so easy to stare into someone else's eyes when they're giving them the worst kind of information, that I would just find it incredibly difficult, and I'm kind of a straightforward person, to look deeply into someone's eyes and give them this information. I think why it's so easy for the actor is because, indeed, the actor doesn't really have a dog in the fight. You know, you really have nothing there. It's fake. It's phony. It's not really happening. You know it isn't. You're not in a relationship with this person. You're not having to give them the bad news about their health or what happened to their house or some other horrible information. It's not real. You know it's not real. I think that also actors are kind of trained that the way that you, you know, communicate is that you make this kind of ironclad communication and you look at the other person's eyes. Indeed, there are classes, I've discussed them, I think, in some of these podcasts, where the point of it is that, you know, you sit knee to knee and you look at each other, you sit in chairs, and you know, that person speaks to you and you listen and you look deeply into their eyes, you know, trying to get this kind of contact, and then you totally take in what they've said, you absorb it like some sort of cotton ball. And then you talk now, and that person does the same, listens to you, and you go back and forth like this. I don't know who does that in real life. I mean, that would creep me out a little bit. I'd probably tell the person to back off and quit freaking me out by staring and taking so long to speak. But, you know, this is what happens sometimes in these kooky acting classes where they're looking to try and make some sort of contact through this kind of hypnotic, you know, starage. I don't find life like that. Again, there is no hard and fast rule. I mean, sometimes we're speaking and then we tag people. And when I say tag, I mean, I look right into your eyes and I tell you something. And then I speak and then I look into your eyes and I, you know, communicate in that sense. But quite honestly, with many people, I find it almost uncomfortable to just constantly stare into their eyeballs while I'm talking. And I'm not a shy person. I find it easier to tell my story and, you know, refer to them when I feel like it's appropriate, when my instincts tell me to, as I said, tag them with certain parts of it for certain reasons. I guess I want to make sure they're getting it. I reference them to see if they're following it. If I say something, I want to see their reaction specifically to at that moment. I look at them. Again, I'm going to keep telling you, there are no hard and fast rules. But what I am always telling actors is that you just need to start to be aware of what you actually do in real life. And so I would say to you, the next time you have to deliver some bad news to someone, or when you're telling a story, or whatever, be aware of what's happening. I don't mean to cheapen or trivialize your life by having you, you know, have some sort of acting awareness while you're living life, but, you know, at the end of the day, that is kind of the actor's job. The astute ones, the ones that want to do their best at portraying an authentic reality, it is important to kind of be aware of these things. Now, look, granted, many actors just absorb this stuff in life, and then when they go to act, it just happens naturally for them. And so, you know, if it isn't broke, we don't need to fix it. But I would just ask you to be aware of it. When two people are talking to each other, watch their eye contact. Watch how they communicate their thoughts when you're in an argument, when people are in an argument. I mean, you can just observe other people doing it as well. You don't have to just constantly be observing yourself. Now, the reason why I think this is important is not just because it'll look more authentic, but I found that when I gave the actor the note the other night, and she then went back to the scene, it made her work more authentic, not just because she wasn't staring at the guy while she was giving the news, and not just because she wasn't staring at him when he was talking or having a reply or retort that was kind of going against, you know, her objective, what she wanted to break it up. He was, you know, not taking it well. He was arguing. He was trying to diminish what she was saying. I found that when she gave herself the freedom of not having to sit there and stare into his eyes, that her work was brought up because her mind just started. I could see it was just kind of riffing along now. She was free to have the kinds of thoughts, and I can see it in her eyes. She was kind of being able to exist in that moment in a much more free state. Here's an experiment. When you're talking to someone, you just start staring into their eyes and don't break your stare. And see what that does to you. A lot of the time, it'll start to make you uncomfortable to the point that you become too self-aware. Again, the actor thinks that's what they're supposed to do, and they don't realize that one of the things that's kind of hanging them up when they're not feeling as free as they'd like to be is because they believe that they're supposed to be doing that. We're having a discussion, and I'm supposed to stare into your eyes and tell you these things. And it kind of railroads you into this very specific way of behaving and looking, and it doesn't allow you that kind of riffing freedom that we have in life when we're chatting, when we're talking, when we're telling a story, when we're arguing, when we're trying to collect our thoughts, find it what it is we're trying to say, when we're trying to see what it is, when we're trying to picture it, when we're trying to create it for the other person. We're not hammered into this idea in life that, well, I got to keep staring into your eyes because that's what communication is. You know, I look at you, and then I talk, and then you look at me. And I think that if actors pay a little more attention to this and don't take that kind of acting concept for granted, like that is what we're supposed to do, I think you'll find a lot more freedom in your work. And then you will intuitively start putting your eyes and your attention, your gaze, where it needs to be. No hard and fast rules, but it'll start to happen for you in a way that'll feel a lot more organic. The idea is to start to understand why we do these things, when we do these things, what the reason for this kind of communication. Why we tag people? When do we look in their eyes? When is it difficult for us to do it? What are we saying when we do it? What are we saying when we can't do it? What are we saying when we're avoiding it? Why is it sometimes when we tell stories, we just like to kind of riff and see it in the air in front of us and talk and play with the sugar packet while we speak? What is that? What is the reasoning for that? Why do we do that? I think that by examining this, by allowing yourself the latitude, by understanding that the idea of being a focused actor isn't to always stare at the other person's eyes and deliver the goods. And remembering that when you're acting, since ultimately we know deep down inside that, you know, listen, this is all fake. These things aren't really happening. This news I'm delivering isn't for real. It can sometimes allow us to behave in a kind of brazen, all-in way that would be tempered a bit in real life. It would be tougher to do in real life. I stop actors sometimes, and when I'm watching this go on, I say, boy, is that have you ever done anything like that in real life? And they'll say, yeah, I suppose, yeah, something like that. And I go, yeah, was it easy for you? Oh, no, I hate that kind of thing. Oh, I hate it. I just, oh, man, I just avoid it. I can't stand this kind of confrontation. Right. Here you are, all in, just able to just stare this person down and give them the worst news in the world, and it just doesn't feel like it's affecting you very much. And they may say something like, well, yeah, well, that's this character. I go, I know, okay, it's this character. But first things first, you know, we always want to bring ourselves to the part. We want to do that because more often than not, when we do that, when we bring ourselves, our own sensibilities to the work, well, 19 times out of 20, it offers this authentic feel to it that is exactly what we're looking for. Instead of, well, no, this guy's confrontational and, you know, this guy, he's breaking up with her and, you know, he's telling her all this stuff. So I imagine it's, you know, easier for him than it would be for me. Yeah, it may seem like that in the dialogue, but is it ever? Is this stuff ever easy? Once in a while, maybe that's the point. You really want to send your point home. I get it, but geez, I don't know. You know, I've lived a little while, and I find these kinds of confrontations dicey at best. So, my point then is, observe. Just start to look at how things really go. Start to pay attention. Watch a friend of yours when they're giving you some news, or they're telling you something, or they're telling someone else. Just start to watch that. What I wanted to do in the end is not give you something you can mimic, but I wanted to offer you a little bit of freedom, a little bit of latitude, so that you can be more descriptive in your work without having to feel like what you need to do when you act to be honest and, you know, present is to always stare at the other actor when you're telling them things. The second thing I want to talk about is what you can do to stand out in your auditions, particularly in the small roles. You know, I've done a podcast on this before, but it keeps coming up because I do a lot of coaching, especially with these small roles. You know, I got 2 lines, 4 lines, 6 lines. I really want to stand out. I even had one of the actors I work with the other night say, look, I know you're going to, you know, give me a hard time about this, but, you know, and it was, you know, granted, it was for a beautiful scene in the next Scorsese film, and I guess the scene would be with Leonardo DiCaprio. So, you know, it was a valid concern. But I'm going to repeat what I always tell everyone. Here's the best way to get noticed. Do excellent work. That's it. What are you going to, stutter? You're going to wear an eye patch? You're going to come in with a limp? You're going to, you know, do it with a Dutch accent? I mean, what is it you think you're going to do? You're going to just end up chasing your tail. You know, you're going to think, well, I'll try this. I'll try that. There is nothing that impresses as much as solid, authentic acting. I brought up the example of a performance that I recently saw in the movie The Joker. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen it, but if you haven't, if you do, when you do, I don't need to tell you this. If you have any awareness of what good, authentic acting is, you will make this observation. Now, look, we expect, of course, Joaquin Phoenix to do a great job. He's a great actor. But there is a scene, one scene a character has. It's when Joaquin Phoenix in the movie goes to a mental health hospital to get some information on the history of his mother and himself. And behind this fenced kind of area where somebody would go and collect these files or whatnot, there is an actor. He is a black actor. I don't know his name. And he is heavy set. You'll notice him immediately. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm positive of this. This actor is going to start, he's going to show up in everything now because he is completely splendid. And how do we know it? When do we know it? You know it the second he opens his mouth, the second he starts talking, because he seems so incredibly authentic. He's one of those people you think, okay, this guy isn't an actor. They must have just gone and, you know, and of course that's crazy because no one could do the work that he did. But what is riveting about it? He just doesn't feel like an actor to me at all. He feels like an actual, authentic, you know, mental health professional fellow who works in one of these rooms, and his job is to go and bring the files up from the basement. His simple compassion, the way he's talking, the way he is dealing with the material, it's the stuff I love. It's like he is almost oblivious to the idea that there is a camera, that there is any acting involved, that he's just 115% doing his job as the fellow that he was hired to do. And so when do we know how terrific he is? So let's imagine it's a scene and there's four lines. Okay, now granted, he has, I don't know, looking back, maybe it's a two-page scene. How soon did I realize that one line, two lines in? We know immediately when someone is great. You just know immediately. Shame on me for not giving you his name here, but listen, we're all going to know his name soon because he's going to show up in a whole bunch of stuff, and well, he should. Because he just went toe-to-toe with Joaquin Phoenix, and he did a brilliant job. And what was it that made him so great? He serviced the script beautifully. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, and that's it. That's what made him stand out. And I have no doubt that he probably did that in the audition, the tape that he sent in, whatever it was, this guy did. And they took one look at it and said, bang, that's what we want. Now, look, at the end of the day, particularly with the small roles, it's going to be the way you look, your flavor, how you fit in. Do they have anyone that looks like you? Are you the right height and size? And are you, you know, their image? And do they see you as the person? Is it kind of a gut thing? They look at you, they think, yes, you could be that mental health professional that, you know, stands behind that fence and, you know, hands the information out to the people that come in and sign for it. I mean, do they see you as that? Now, that's something you can't guess. You just... You know, you're going in for it. They've looked at your picture. They think there's an opportunity, a chance. So you've just got to forget about that, but focus on doing the best work you can. That's it. And then you roll the dice, and if the casting gods are in your favor, I guess you're going to get the part. But to worry, to try and think of whatever the secret recipe is that you're going to do, man, you're going to waste your time. You're going to start, you know, adding spices into the thing that aren't necessarily going to be what's called for. It's going to be more of some sort of little stunt that you're trying to come up with so that you'll get noticed. And you may get noticed, but for all the wrong reasons. Do your best work. Do your best solid work. Every time you show up, you do great work. You do authentic, solid work. The rest you got to let go. You don't want to start second guessing what they're looking for. That's it. That's how you stand out. All right, that's what I got. that's what I have for you tonight. So you want to come see me in Hollywood at my new space on the 11th of December, send me an email. I'll get you set up. We'll give you a free workout. All right? Do me a favor. Spread the word. And as always, thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.